The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, scientists say Earth is mysteriously pulsating. Every 26 seconds, no one knows why.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Same here.
What is that?
Don't you? That was my pulsating.
Oh, that was
that
your
was my,
pulsating?
Don't you like the word pulsate? It's just a really good word. Everybody understands what it means. For some reason, when I hear the word pulsate, I think of a washing machine. I do. I think of the way it moves around and all of that. Weird. What can I tell
you?
Welcome to PTI,
that.
Boys and girls. In today's episode, Jimmy G's future, James Harden's happiness, and the sadness that is LSU football. But we begin today with Jim Harbaugh, who finds himself being widely criticized. Harbaugh is in his sixth season at Michigan. In that time, he is 1-6 at home against Michigan's main rivals, Michigan State and Ohio State. This includes last Saturday's loss to Michigan State when Michigan was a 24-point favorite. Harbaugh is 48-19 overall, but he's 3-8 against those two, and he's lost four straight bowl games. Wilbon, is the growing criticism of Harbaugh deserved?
Yeah, Tony, I think in the context of what Michigan football is, what it thinks of itself, you know, Big Blue Nation, it probably is. I mean, that record wouldn't get you criticized everywhere. It wouldn't get you criticized. Oh, get you praised. Get you, you know, a lifetime contract in some places. But, Tony, I know how presumptuous and how arrogant Michigan football is and the people who are around Michigan football. This reminds me a little bit of, say, everybody's going to say I'm picking on them. Reminds me of Nebraska 15, 18 years ago or something like that when 9-3 on the average or 10-2, it wasn't good enough. So let's get rid of this guy because we can be better than that. Oh, wait, now we're stuck at 7 on average. I mean, Michigan is in that place now. I don't think that this marriage is with Harbaugh is going to last. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not saying they should fire him. I can't bring myself to say that. But I don't see this marriage lasting, Tony, because it's not producing any sort of happiness at all in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, so I had Pat Forty on the podcast the other day. And we were talking about Harbaugh, and he was saying that Harbaugh's contract is up at the end of next season and that neither side has talked about an extension. And he said this is unheard of at a big school. Like, you just can't have that at a big school where a guy is essentially a lame duck. And Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated said he thought Harbaugh would go back to the pros and it would end. Look, I like Jim Harbaugh a lot. I think he's really good for college football. I watch Paul Feinbaum, who I respect and like enormously, kill Harbaugh all the time. There's a couple of numbers here, Mike. He's 33-13 in the Big Ten. This is a great football conference.
I'm saying his record, yes.
He's 33-13, and you're going to get rid of him?
That's not how you judge him, Tone. You judge him on Ohio State first, and we know how that's going right now. Okay, you judge him on Ohio State, and then you judge him. He shouldn't just be beating Michigan State in the eyes of blue. He should be crushing them, and he can't even do that. So when you look at those two, your judgment starts here, and he's close to 0-for. Close. I mean, so he's beaten Michigan State a couple of times at home. So what? That's not how they judge themselves. And so I've spent a lifetime watching the Big Ten and understanding, to some degree, Michigan's place in it. Tone, this is not what they imagine. And they're not successfully recruiting against Ohio State. They're not getting the players that puts them even with Ohio State anymore. They're just not.
I'll just tell you this. And I look at this from an academic standpoint. Michigan's a really good academic school. It's a top 5 public school in the entire country. And a lot of kids want to go there. Jim Harbaugh was a quarterback in the NFL. And he took a team to the Super Bowl as a coach. I think big name athletes should want to play for him, including over Ohio State sometimes. And it forces me to conclude, Mike, that maybe he's not that good a coach. Maybe he's not as much as I like him.
Maybe he's not connecting with recruits in the same way that we think he should and can.
Yeah.
If Jimmy Garoppolo, moving to the NFL, where Harbaugh may be soon, needs season-ending ankle surgery, some wonder whether the 49ers will want him back next year. Garoppolo led San Francisco to the Super Bowl just 9 months ago. But Steve Young, who knows something about quarterback in the Niners, says, quote, I think the $25 million salary and a shrinking salary cap with this injury, I just don't know how Jimmy ends up being the quarterback of the 49ers next year. Close quote. Ouch. Tony, are you buying Steve Young's contention that this could be it for Jimmy G and the Niners?
So the two critical words for me in this are Steve Young. Steve Young not only knows football, he really knows 49er football. And by the way, I miss him, and I'd like to get him back on the show. I read the entire quote, and it seemed that what he was saying was that Kyle Shanahan's really smart, really innovative, and Jimmy Garoppolo is not good enough for his offense, and that's why they run the ball all the time, because Kyle Shanahan doesn't particularly trust him and doesn't give him the whole Shanahan package. I'm going to go to a number here. Garoppolo is 24-8 as a starter. And the last time we saw him starting, as you said, was in the Super Bowl. He's got 51 touchdowns and 26 picks, and that's good. He completes 67.5% of his passes, and that's good. I can think of a team that might want him, and the initials of that team are New England Patriots.
Yeah, I can think of a lot of teams that might want him. But, Tony, this coming off our first story, right? I mean, with Jim Harbaugh, talk about expectations at Michigan.
Right.
Tony, the expectations of the 49ers are greater in context than the expectations at Michigan. The expectations of the 49ers, and I spent a lot of time in Northern California the last 6 years, they're greater than the expectation of the Warriors.
Yeah, but they're living off Bill Walsh.
Of the Warriors.
They're living off 30 years ago with Bill Walsh.
Tony, you know, come on, no, you're wrong. And you don't go to San Francisco, you're wrong. We can get Steve Young to settle this if you don't believe me. The expectations of the Niners are absurd. They expect them to
then
win every year as if Bill Walsh was still coaching Steve Young and Joe Montana and Jerry Rice. Tony.
They don't have those players anymore.
No, they
don't. They don't have them.
But will Shanahan, with all this pressure on him to win, not just get there, but to win, will he look at Matt Ryan, a guy he had great success with as coordinator?
Sure.
A guy who's 35 years old and maybe done.
No. There's two guys you look at. You look at Matt Ryan, who you coached, and your boy Arthur Blank the other day said we may be going in a different direction. So maybe they can get Matt Ryan. And you look at Kirk Cousins, who he coached in Washington, and I always sort of wondered why didn't he go after him harder. If Minnesota ends up 4-12 or 5-11 or 6-10, maybe Minnesota decides let's dump Kirk Cousins.
Instead of paying him
all that money.
And
that's a good landing spot for him.
Yeah.
That's a good landing spot. Let's move on. Mark Stein of the New York Times writes that, quote, James Harden's happiness in Houston must be closely monitored, unquote. Apparently, Harden may be upset that the two coaching candidates he endorsed, Ty Lue and John Lucas, were passed over for Steven Silas. The Athletic is reporting that Philadelphia, where your boy Daryl Morey landed, might be pursuing a trade for Harden, who he loves. Wilbon, do you think Harden will be moved?
I think Harden could be moved, and I know why Philadelphia. You just said it, all right? I mean, so we understand the match there and how much Daryl loves James Harden. I know that. But then you got to figure out what you're going to do. Yes, you know, he and Embiid look like they could play together, but can he play with Simmons and Embiid? I mean, you know, I don't know how that works out. I don't know how that mix works. Not everybody in basketball wants to play with Harden. So he is a great player and a first ballot Hall of Famer. And other than Kobe and Michael, maybe the greatest scorer of the last, 30 plus years in the NBA. Not everybody wants to play with him, Tony. So he could be moved. Philly, man, I mean, you'd have to restructure them. But one thing Daryl Morey does, every year he puts a contender out there. He doesn't say we're going to have a five-year Philly process. He has a contender out there. So maybe they'll find a way to make that work. I don't know.
So what I like most about this story, I love this story, is it is purely speculative. So I'm going to play the game for a while on speculation. And I'm going to say that if Philadelphia is involved, who would you trade? Would you trade Simmons for Harden or would you trade Embiid for Harden? And I would trade Embiid for Harden for two reasons, not because he's yappy. One, because James Harden is a ball hog and a shooter. And Ben Simmons is neither of those things and will delight in setting him up. This will take pressure off Simmons, and I believe they would play together a lot better than Westbrook and Harden. And the other part of the equation is that I believe that Westbrook and Embiid would play better together than what you've got now, because Westbrook is a slasher. He goes into the middle. He's not somebody who stands outside and destroys rhythm by just taking a million shots. So I think that is a great trade. The other part of this is the great irony of your boy Daryl Morey, who by putting small ball out there devalued the coach. He's gone. I thought devalued the team a little bit, and now he would end up with the guy he loves the most, James Harden, and I think it would work out.
I don't know if it will work, Tony. I mean, I think that in some ways Embiid and Harden could work, because Harden can just dance around the three-point line like he largely likes doing. Not that that's all he can do, but he loves doing it, and you have Embiid. I mean, look, maybe some combination of these things can work. These guys are all very smart basketball minds, and they can figure out how to use these players in different configurations and different systems. And then you got Doc Rivers, who hasn't necessarily had a dominant big man, who I'm sure would figure out a way to incorporate Harden and Simmons if that's what he had. So I'm not doubting that these things are intriguing. I'm just saying, if I'm Philly, don't I want to give what I got a look first? A look?
I wouldn't. I think you've already given it a look.
You've given it three years of a look,
okay. And it doesn't work. The other interesting thing is that the owner in Houston is very hands-on.
Yeah, he is.
And I don't know how long Steven Silas has. I don't know how long any coach has
there. Didn't you want to see John Lucas get a shot? We've known John Lucas a long time. I wanted him to have a shot.
Yeah. Well, he didn't get it. No, the owner there, I think, is a lot like Jerry Jones. I do. Let's take a break. Coming up, how should the Nooch, and I know you know who we're talking about, take his benching in Big D?
The Nooch. What's the right way to describe the kind of season LSU is having? What's the word must be next?
Well, that means I'm going to have to change costumes, which I'm happy to do.
Oh, you got that silly doctor thing on, right?
Not the mooch.
Not the mooch. The Nooch.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the Interruption, presented by Grey Goose, part of Happy Hour.
Time to fill in some blanks and what's the word? Word up, what's first?
Rookie quarterback Ben DiNucci should feel blank that he won't start for the Cowboys against the Steelers.
He should feel awful. I could be cute. And I could say he should feel relieved because the Steelers are going to win the game by a lot. Or he should feel intact because the Steelers could kill him. But no, the fact is that what Jerry Jones did to him was a terrible humiliation. After the game, he's pressed into service because Dak Prescott isn't around. And Andy Dalton gets concussed. And he's out there against the Eagles. And he coughs it up. And he wasn't very good. But then Jerry says, I think it was a lot for him. I think we certainly as a team paid the price to have him come in under the circumstances. It was more than he could handle. They killed him. He's done. He's never going to play in Dallas again. And the two guys who are going to play, one guy named Garrett Gilbert played in the AF, and the other guy, Cooper Rush, is either an energy drink or a ride at Universal.
I saw those two names earlier today when I was reading about the Dallas Cowboys. And my first response was, what? Who are these people? Tony, he should feel, Danucci should feel relegation. He's relegated. He's out there.
He's done.
Banished him to a level of football that won't exist. You said he's out of Dallas. That's the relegation. Yeah. He'll be looking up at the NFL. It seems wildly unfair. But then again, when the Cowboys stink like this, I'm just fine with it.
Next.
It's a blank season for Ed Orgeron and LSU.
It's a Poseidon season. It's a total capsize. And they have Alabama next. Mike, they could end up with the worst record of any team that had just won a national championship. They gave up 44 to Mississippi State, 45 to Missouri, 48 to Auburn. You can't just stand there and say, go Tigers. I mean, everybody's in the NFL. They got absolutely nothing.
They have nobody.
They got nothing. Orgeron's got a hope it's not a Gene Chizik situation in a couple of years.
The only team worse at defending a championship than LSU, go Tigers, is the Nats, the Nationals. They had a reasonably
bad,
god-awful season at this, Tony.
Bad.
And so what kind of season is LSU having vacated? Because they could just forget this. But here's what I think is different in college sports. They'll be so happy at LSU that they kept Nick Saban out of the winner's circle, they can just say, we don't care. Just take the season, take it out of the record books, have it vacated, and it's just fine. They'll load up. They'll be good again. I don't know that the Nats will get there nearly as quickly, but LSU will be back.
Nats will be fine.
They'll be back in contention.
Nats have starting pitching. They're going to be fine. LSU takes this season, puts it in a box.
That's right.
Ships it out. That's it. Your words were for the birds, Wilbon.
Words are better than yours.
Let's take one last break. Still to come, could the promising young Pelicans, speaking of birds, really trade one of their best players?
And is Jets GM Joe Douglas right when he calls Adam Gase part of the solution? What?
No.
Huh?
No, I don't actually think so.
You could relegate the Jets right now, too.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 32nd birthday, Dez Bryant. A few years back, Bryant was one of the elite receivers in the NFL. He was first team All-Pro in 2014 and named to the Pro Bowl three times. He was as big a name in Dallas as Tony Romo and Jason Witten. He caught 531 passes, 73 for touchdowns, and every DB feared what happened when number 88 got his hands on the ball. But Bryant hasn't played since 2017. After the Cowboys cut him, Bryant signed with the Saints in 2018, but tore his Achilles in practice 2 days after signing. Now Romo is in the booth, and Witten was in the booth, and Bryant is on the practice squad in Baltimore. The Ravens have only one reliable wide receiver, Hollywood Brown, so they signed Bryant. So far, his action had been limited to imitating Chase Claypool for practice purposes as the Ravens prepared for Pittsburgh. Jason Lockenfour of CBS Sports says the earliest Bryant would be activated is the Thanksgiving rematch against the Steelers.
Tony, I think he could be as important, if not more so, to Baltimore than a certain overstated guy is to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's just me. I know I'm in the minority. Let me also say this. When you wear number 88 in Dallas, and you follow in the footsteps of Drew Pearson and Michael Irvin, you got to be damn good, and he was.
They should have retired those numbers a long
time
ago.
Probably should have.
Happy anniversary, San Antonio Spurs. On this day 26 years ago, the Spurs were set to tip off their home opener against the Warriors at the Alamo Dome when smoke produced from the pregame fireworks set off the sprinkler system during introductions, and hilarity ensued. A water cannon opened up and proceeded to spray the coaches, players, and fans with an estimated 12,000 gallons of regular water, not Fiji or Evian, kids, drenching thousands in attendance and forcing the teams to evacuate the court. The start of the game was delayed nearly an hour while workers shut off the cannon and mopped up the court. David Robinson, Avery Johnson, and Sean Elliott were on that team, as were Doc Rivers, Dennis Rodman, Terry Cummings and Moses Malone and in his final
Negro,
NBA season.
Vinny Dell, don't forget him.
That team, yeah, he was on that too. And J.R. Reed, I believe. That team was good enough to make the Western Conference Finals, but it was still 2 years away from Greg Popovich taking over the coaching from Bob Hill and 3 years away from the arrival of Tim Duncan and all those ensuing championships.
Man, that wasn't just getting wet. I mean, you could have drowned if you were directly under the release of that. That was a little bit better than Harry Carey out in the center field stands doing wet T-shirts at Comiskey Park, pulling a string and having, you know, a little stream come out. That was, by the way, a lot of winners, a lot of guys with rings, championships, and in the Hall of Fame among those players you mentioned on that Spurs team.
Yep. Happy trails, Drew Holiday. The Pelicans' veteran point guard and leader is reportedly on the trading block, which may come as a surprise to some, considering when David Griffin took over as Pelicans GM a year ago, he called Holiday an MVP-caliber player. How many MVPs are being publicly shopped around? Holiday has been in New Orleans since 2013, made the All-Star team once, and has a reputation as a good defender. He's coming off a season where, in round numbers, he averaged 19 points, 7 assists, and 5 rebounds. Plus, Holiday was named the 2020 Teammate of the Year. It's a lovely title. He'll be able to carry it to the new locker room he dresses in. Presumably, Griffin and new coach Stan Van Gundy believe Lonzo Ball is ready to take over Holiday's role, and they're looking to trade him for some new players to help build around Zion Williamson.
Well, Tony, not just Zion, but Lonzo, as you mentioned, Zion, Ingram, who, let's face it, was the most improved player in the league, at least on some ballots, on mine, Josh Hart, Jackson Hayes. Now, the problem is, Tony, they're not going to catch right away the Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, Dubs, maybe not even Dallas and Phoenix. So he's got some time, Griff does, to build. And Drew Holiday's not going to be with that young group when that time comes to cash it in. So I understand this deal.
Love it. Defend your boy. Love
it. That's right.
Quarterback omissions. The Lions put Matt Stafford on the reserve COVID list. The Texans signed Josh McCown, and the NFL Network reports that Mitch Trubisky hurt his throwing shoulder on his only snap against the Saints.
Ooh, so what are you going to get back in trade value now if his shoulder, whichever one, is...
All right, big finish. You can moan about this later.
I'm moaning.
The Athletic reports that players will vote Thursday night or Friday morning as to whether to start the NBA season December 22nd or January 18th. Your thoughts?
Tony, I know it's going to be unpopular with teams like the Lakers and the Heat because they got to still be tired, right? They need some time to recuperate. But it sounds like it's gained a lot of momentum for the rest of the players in the league, a lot. Jets GM Joe Douglas says Adam Gase is part of the solution, and Sam Darnold is the team's quarterback of the future. Say what?
No. Mookie Betts won his fifth straight Gold Glove. Are you impressed?
For a guy who was a second baseman when he was in the Red Sox organization moving up, everything Mookie does, you want to have a part of. I know I would. Bucks coach Bruce Arians coached Marshall Faulk, but says Alvin Kamara is scarier. Do you agree with that?
Bulletin board material. One guy's in the Hall of Fame. Maxion starts tonight with 6 games.
Yeah.
Are you happy the conference is back?
Yes, I am, Tony. And the Pac-12 is back Saturday as well.
Out of time. Try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts now. Here's SportsCenter.
Alex Hughes, shout out. Great drawing. Great. Just great.